Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Common Sense Radio, and glad to be back. Today we're talking United Football League again. It is a wrap-up of the first 3 weeks of the season. And, wow, the games are getting a lot more interesting. Definitely more scoring and more the games are coming down to the wire. A lot more interesting. That new fourth and 12 rule, which I'm not a big fan of, has come in handy the past 2 weeks and has been a factor in deciding at least, I believe, two games already. So let's get right into it. And your final scores of the weekend. Game one, Arlington, they drop a heartbreaker, 29-28 against the D.C. Defenders in a rematch of the XFL championship game from last year. Arlington had, I believe, a 10-point lead in this game. With about two minutes to go, they ended up giving up a touchdown and a two-point conversion. And then D.C. converted on the 4th and 12 play and went on to kick a field goal at the end of the game to win 29-28. So Arlington dropped to 0-3 now, and D.C. is 2-1. D.C. is now tied for first in the XFL conference with San Antonio, and Arlington is tied with Arlington is last place. They're sitting in last place. Actually, there's a three-way tie, sorry, in the XFL conference. You have St. Louis, San Antonio, and D.C. all at 2-1. And then in game two of the weekend, the Birmingham Stallions continue to roll. They defeated the Memphis Showboats 33-14. So Birmingham leads the USFL conference. They're at 3-0, 20-3 overall the past, including the past 2 years. So, again, they are the closest thing to a spring football dynasty. 9-1 the first season, 8-2 last season. USFL championships, 22-23. And they're off to a 3-0 start this year. And what's impressive is that they've had the same coach, Skip Holt, who's an outstanding football coach, but they've used three or four different quarterbacks now. They had Jamar Smith in the first season 2 years ago. And then Alex Magoo the last season. Magoo is now an active, or he's on the Green Bay Packers roster or practice squad. So he's not playing this year for the Stallions. But they've turned to two other quarterbacks, Matt Corral and Adrian Martinez. Adrian Martinez, I believe, was with Nebraska, and Corral was with Ole Miss. So quite an impressive victory, 33-14. And then another impressive victory, Michigan defeats Houston 34-20, and they have sole possession of second place in the USFL conference, just one game behind Birmingham. And if you remember, they played Birmingham pretty close the previous week. 20-13, the Stallions won. But the Panthers are driving deep in that game, or driving late, until their drive stalled in the last minute. The Houston Roughnecks, they're also 0-3, last place in the USFL conference. And then in the final game of the weekend, the St. Louis Battlehawks improved to 2-1. San Antonio gets their first defeat. They dropped to 2-1, 31-24. So it looks to me as if the scoring is up, a total of 213 points this weekend, and it's improved every week. Well, I mean, each of the 3 weeks, it's gone up. So, like I said, the scoring is up. There's more points being scored. And hopefully that will continue. And we haven't had any attendance reports yet from the games this weekend. Haven't seen them yet. Maybe we'll get one. We'll look it up during the show. So some of the individual stats. Luis Perez of the Renegades had an outstanding game. And really, the Arlington Renegades should have won this game. They had 72 plays to DC's 44. They had a total of 419 yards in the game. Luis Perez, 24 of 40 for 290 yards and two touchdown passes for a 137.4 rating. And they bring in backup Lindsey Scott. He ran for 11 yards, and his passer rating was one. He was perfect, one for one, 192.4. And then they were 13 of 18 on third down. They had 24 first downs, but their problem, penalties. Oh, and 123 rushing yards, but the penalties just killed them, especially in the first half. I believe they had three false starts in the game, and what really hurt them was that holding penalty right before the first half. If you were watching, the Renegades were up 14-9. They ran a draw play, got about 10 yards on the play to set up a very makeable field goal for Taylor Russolino, but it was called back on a holding call, and the result was out of field goal range, which I don't know. I think they still could have kicked a field goal there. But instead, they tried to throw a deep ball. Perez was pressured, and he had to throw it out of bounds. I thought that was a series of poor play calling and poor coaching there. And the reason is you're already in position for a field goal. I like the draw play there. But to get a penalty there makes no sense. I mean, you got to tell your players, look, no penalties here. The only thing that can hurt us here is a turnover, a sack, or a penalty. And they got a penalty on it, a 10-yard penalty. Took him out of field goal range. So instead of gaining 10 yards, they got backed up 10 yards. But even so, I still would have attempted a field goal there. I know it would have been a long field goal, but as we've seen with the Michigan kicker, the Panther kicker, 60 yards is makeable. And I know on the broadcast they said it was swirling winds. I don't know. I think you have a better chance with a field goal than a deep ball, but they didn't even attempt a deep ball. Perez was forced to throw it out of bounds. So a very poor sequence of plays near the end. And that's what cost them the game, missing that or not getting that the chance at a field goal. And everything went right for the defenders at the end. Everything went wrong for the Renegades, but the penalties in the first half were bad. 9 penalties. That's not good. Not good. They got to cut out those penalties. But statistically, on offense, the Renegades are like night and day compared to last year. However, their defense is not very good. After giving up 29 points this past week, they gave up 27 points against the Battlehawks the week before and 27 against the Stallions before that. So if they had last year's defense with this year's offense, they'd be undefeated. Now let's look at the second game. Of course, the Stallions still look dominant. I don't know who's going to beat them, regardless of who's at quarterback. I thought Matt Corral would be a breakout star, but instead Holtz went with Adrian Martinez, the Nebraska quarterback, who's a little erratic, I thought, in college. But Martinez, 18 of 28 for 334 yards, two touchdown passes, a rating of 188.1. He had one rushing touchdown for 44 yards. And the Stallions put up 424 total yards. Memphis was nowhere near it at 212. Both teams committed penalties. Birmingham had 7. Memphis 6. But the Stallions were dominant again, although Memphis had more plays, 61-54. So, let's see. And Martinez is also the leading rusher for the Stallions. Receiving, Deion Kane looked outstanding. 7 catches for 144 yards and thrown to 8 times. Their tight end, Jay Sternberger, 4 receptions for 73 yards and a receiving touchdown. Memphis, Case Cookus does not look as good as he did, with the Stars. He had, this game, he had 15 to 22 for 139 yards and a touchdown. And they only put up 20 total rushing yards. Swin was their leading rusher, 14 yards on 6 attempts, only a 2.3 yard average. So Memphis, it looks like they have not recovered from that last-second loss to San Antonio. They came out decently in the first half, but the second half they just fell flat. It was a fairly close game in the first half, but then Birmingham salted it away on a field goal and 2 touchdown drives. Game 3. Michigan, who the Panthers, who were in their 3rd straight home game, E. Perry, their quarterback, 16 to 19 for 208 yards and a touchdown pass, rating of 193.5. Good day on offense, 332 total yards. And here's the thing, they didn't beat themselves. Only 2 penalties for 10 yards. While Houston, 7 penalties for 43 yards. Their offense still has trouble moving. They started off strong with a touchdown pass by Reed Sinnott. To Hall in the first quarter. Actually, I think it was in the first drive. But the defense just kind of fell apart on them as Michigan scored 22 points in the 3rd quarter and opened up a 34-14 lead after what was a very close first half. It was 12-11. And again, I think the problem, especially with Houston, that near the end of the first half, they were down 9-8. I know that's an odd score for football, but they were down 9-8. And they not only did they not score a touchdown in the first half, and I know that you kick a field goal and you're still up, but they didn't use the clock at all. The clock kept stopping, and they gave Michigan too much time. And, of course, Michigan has an outstanding field goal kicker, so if they get anywhere near midfield, they're in good position for a field goal. And I was a little disappointed at not just the play calling, but the use of the clock there by the Roughnecks. I believe on that first down play, Sinnott was sacked. Looked like no outlet pass. An outlet blitz coming from the Panthers, and Sinnott just took a sack. And then on the third down play, it was a safe pass over the middle, but the play wasn't really designed to get in the end zone. Looked like he was just dumping it off. That would have been a good play on first down. Dump the ball off, get some yards, keep the clock moving, or force Michigan to use a timeout. And the third down play had no chance at the end zone. He stopped, I believe, 10 yards short. And it left Michigan plenty of time, and they kicked a field goal right before the half. So the Panthers end up 2-1, Roughnecks 0-3. And then your fourth and final game, this was another close game. And honestly, I thought this would be the best game of the weekend between St. Louis and San Antonio. Not as much offense in terms of yardage. The Brahmas had 260, Battlehawks 253, But the Brahmas had a lot more plays, 70-48, and more first downs, 23-18. Their quarterback, Garbers, had a good day, but not many yards, a lot of short passes. 27-41 for 143 total yards, and he contributed 10 yards on the ground. Their leading rusher, Brahma's leading rusher, was Lovett with 41 yards and a touchdown. The Battlehawks, McCarron had a efficient day, 19-27 for 152 yards. Leading rusher, Sailors, 7 attempts on 62 yards and a touchdown. And their leading receiver, Hakeem Butler, 6 catches for 87 yards and a touchdown. And if you didn't see, he made an outstanding catch over the middle, reached up and grabbed the ball from the defenders. He was getting covered on all sides there on the seam pattern. But this was another example of, I think, a couple of plays broke this game open. It was it was 20-18 in the third quarter, and it was 23-18 at one point. I think some bad play calling by the Brahmas by AJ Smith. It was a third down and long, and you have to throw it. You got to try to get the first down. The Brahmas threw some kind of a short smoke screen pass to the outside on third and long. It had really no chance of working. It was a very low percentage play. And I don't know. I think you're down by 5 there in midway through the fourth quarter. Maybe it was a little bit more time than that. But you've got to try to get the first down there and get a drive together so you can go score. But not only did they have to punt, they ran a poor play in a low percentage play on third down. They were forced to punt. Punt was not a very good one. It was kind of a low line drive. It was a great return by the St. Louis kickoff return guy. Got it all the way down into San Antonio territory. And I believe the next play, Sailors ran it in for a touchdown from about, 20 yards or so, but he wasn't even touched on the play. So it looked like San Antonio was either out of position or tired. I don't know what. But those three plays, back-to-back-to-back, the botched third down attempt, the poor punt, and then the lack of tackling or containment on the running touchdown by Sailors, broke that game open. It was a 5-point game, and then it turned into a 13-point game with the with the 2-point conversion. San Antonio did get a touchdown and did not get the 1-point conversion. And then they had the ball again, but again it was the play calling with no timeouts. They kept trying to throw the ball short. I don't understand that, because in this game, the clock will continue to run if you don't make first downs. If you get a first down or throw the ball towards the boundary, I don't know, maybe St. Louis was protecting the boundaries, but way too many passes short of the marker, which caused the clock to run, and they had no timeouts, and they could not get into position to win. So I thought it was not very good play calling or execution by the Brahmas, and it was good defense by the Battlehawks, good awareness. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will look at the games next week. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. We're talking the United Football League. After total scoring this weekend was 213 from the previous week of, I believe it was 164 in the first week, was 147. So every week, scoring's gone up. Maybe we'll hit 300 this weekend. Who knows? But the first game will be Saturday. This Saturday at 12:30 Eastern. St. Louis, 2-1 St. Louis Battlehawks at home against the 1-2 Showboats. Should be good attendance, 40,000 in their first game, and this will be on ABC. Game two, the Birmingham Stallions put their 20-3 record, and I believe 10 straight regular season wins overall, on the line against the 2-1 Defenders. And, you know, the Defenders were the team everybody thought was the best team in the XFL last season. So this would have been considered maybe the two best teams or the two best teams in their respective leagues from last season. The Stallions, as we said, are 20-3. And the Defenders in their year and a half plus, their overall record is 14-4. So they probably have the second best record of all the current teams. That will be a night game, 7:00 Eastern on Fox. That will be in Birmingham. Then game three, though, actually it looks like there'll be two games at that time. DC at Birmingham, and then the Brahmas at home again will be on Fox. This will be their third home game. They'll be facing the Panthers, who will be on the road for the first time. That is also a 7:00 game. So you have two 7:00 games at on Fox. It's interesting. And then the next day, the fourth game, will be an afternoon game. Two 0-3 teams, Arlington and Houston, down at Rice Stadium. So someone's got to win that, folks. One of these teams is going to be 1-3, and the other team's 0-4. And really, you know, we're coming up to mid-season now, in a 10-game season. So the winner has to win to stay alive here. The loser, I wouldn't say they're out of it, but they're not in great shape. And the previous game, Michigan and San Antonio, both teams are 2-1 there. And just going over the standings, see, Birmingham is, like as we said, 3-0. Second place team is Michigan at 2-1. Memphis 1-2. Houston 0-3 in the USFL. And then the XFL, three-way tie at the top between St. Louis, San Antonio, and D.C., all 2-1. Arlington 0-3. Top two teams in each conference, just like the past few seasons, will make the playoffs. So one of those 2-1 teams will not be in the playoff race. And so Arlington's got a long way to go. They need to a win here in a bad way. Houston, they need a win as well. But because they are two games behind the second place team, Panthers. So that's our show for today. If you'd like to call in, our number here is 563-999-3409. We have a few minutes if you'd like to talk the United Football League. A lot more scoring, a lot better offense, a lot more competitive games this weekend. We have only one undefeated team left, two winless teams, and those two winless teams are playing each other this weekend. It's been quite a turnaround for the Renegades and the Roughnecks. If you think about it, they were the two teams in the South playoffs last year. Now, of course, this is a different Roughnecks team. This is actually the Gamblers who became the Roughnecks, not the previous Roughnecks. The Wade Phillips Roughnecks were a much better team, I thought, the 7-3 team. And they pretty much dominated the Renegades in both games last year until the playoffs. And then the Renegades went on that incredible two-game playoff streak, defeating the Roughnecks, I believe it was 26-11, And then D.C. in the championship game, 35-26. Both those results were completely out of left field. But the Renegades need to cut out the penalties, the dumb penalties, and their defense needs to play a lot better. They really have not played good defense all year, except for the most of the first half of the first game. They gave up that big touchdown pass to the Birmingham on a deep ball by Corral, beautifully thrown pass. Safety was late getting over, and this happened right before halftime. I don't know how you can give up a score right before halftime there, but the rest of the second half, they didn't play well against Birmingham. Could not stop the Battlehawks for the most part. The play calling, the coaching there at the end of the Battlehawks game was a little confusing with getting conservative and not getting into good field position for a field goal. And then not letting the Battlehawks score at the end of the game, trying to stop them when you have no timeouts and the Battlehawks can just easily set up for a field goal and win the game, which is what happened. And then the debacle against D.C. where they gave up a late touchdown. And then they didn't stop the defenders on the 4th and 12. So both teams need a win. I'd say the Renegades need it more because they are the defending XFL champions. And we're coming up on midseason. You don't want to be 0-4 in a 10-game season. Once again, this weekend's games will include first game will be 12:30 Eastern, Memphis at St. Louis. Second game, you'll have two games on, games two and three of the weekend. D.C. at Birmingham, 7 o'clock Eastern on Fox. Michigan at San Antonio, 7 o'clock on Fox. And that St. Louis game will be on ABC. And only one game on Sunday, 2 o'clock Eastern, Arlington at Houston on Fox. That's all the time we have for today. Hope you enjoy yesterday's games. It's getting good. We're getting near midseason. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.